What's good? What's good? We back live from Vietnam. How y'all doing, fellas?
All right, cooling, man.
Peace.
Can y'all hear me? What's
up? Yeah.
Okay, good.
Big Face couldn't make it. He's at the bare knuckle fight tonight, so and whatnot. Before we get started, I wanted to say rest in peace to DJ Mark 45 King.
Indeed.
Yeah.
You mind the number?
Anybody want to say anything about Mark the 45 King before we get into the topic?
Hey, man. If don't nobody mind, I'll go off.
Go ahead.
First of all, I didn't know the man. I didn't know the brother personally. But I can't say, you know, in the past 5 years, I actually had some real good interaction with him on Instagram. You know, the brother would show up and he'd just be playing beats and he'd tell stories about some of the beats that he made. And the brother's very important. You know, to call him a hip hop producer, I think that's limited, but I could just say Queen Latifah, Wrath of My Madness. I can say Jay-Z, Hard Knock Life. And I can say Eminem, Stan. And everything else is in between. The dude is large. He did
Stan. I didn't even know that.
I didn't know that either.
He did Stan. Yeah. You know, and but Stan, you know, that for me as a listener, as a hip hop head, you know, Eminem came later. But I go back to Queen Latifah. It's like din 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 din. That was him. Latifah's getting down, prepared to go all the way. That's him, you know. Doom 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 doom. That's him. And you know, so
yeah,
you know, peace to that brother.
Shout out to 45 King. Like I said, I don't really. You know, I'm not know a whole bunch about him, but I'm familiar with his work, man. And I look up to people like that, people like him, Lord Finesse, you know what I'm saying? People that really be digging in the crates. He's one of those originals, man. So shout out to him. You know, he's a legend just off of Hard Knock Life, you know.
Yeah. Doom, doom, yeah. Doom. Sorry to be
you know, and if anybody remembers, you know, Yo on TV raps every time. You know what I'm saying? Ed Lover would do that dance. Every time he throw on 900 number.
Yeah.
So.
That's him.
You know what I mean? And I definitely got to go back and listen to Stan because I didn't even, you know, I got that album. I didn't really think about that one. Or Hard Knock. Think about that.
That caught me by surprise when it came out, because I wasn't even looking at the credits, but yeah, that's him. And it's crazy because the artist that he sampled is like the song that like really came out like the same year or a year before he sampled
sampled a Dido.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was him too. You know. So. Yeah, incredible.
So for those who didn't know, DJ Mark 45 King produced Stan. You heard it live on Vietnam. Live from Vietnam.
Man, 10 million people already heard it, man.
Well, I didn't know me and Kathy.
I don't think that's common knowledge. That song is that production.
It should be, you know, like a hip hop history class that should be common knowledge, but it's not.
Yeah.
Hip-hop Jeopardy is coming.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. J sent me this tweet. and he wanted to talk about this tweet he sent. And I guess the tweet sums it up. It says, want to know why sales dropped drastically? Look at the BET Awards. Mr. J, I'm going to let you start this.
Can you repeat that again?
Not Jones, Mr. J. It says
No. I'm not trying to answer. Can you repeat that? What'd you say?
Want to know why sales dropped drastically? Look at the BET Awards.
Okay.
Well, basically, the cat who said it was used to be known as Sean Don. He's part of the whole Little Brother circle. He goes by Finian St. Omer. And he was basically saying, you know, if you got a chance to look at the BET Awards, you saw the drastic difference between the performances, the music from one generation, the founders and the the OGs to the new breed that's out now, you know, and you see the crowd reaction. You see how, you know, when LL came out and did his thing, everybody's out of their seat. Everybody's moving around. Everybody's into it, from the young to the old. The new cats come out, you know, even DaBaby, who's from here, people aren't necessarily out of their seat. They're kind of in their seat. They're kind of, you know, moving back and forth. They're not really into the show. The performances, the energy is completely different from one person to another. Even to Jermaine Dupri, to songs that were, you know, basically not even, well, not, you know, not 20 years old, probably maybe about 15 years old at this point. They come out and, you know, he's doing Welcome to Atlanta. He's doing even the stuff that people kind of frowned on, like the popping, you know, the snap music and stuff. And still, the energy is different. The energy in the room is different. Even when, you know, we have some people complain about, you know, rapping over tracks and things of that nature. He had maybe one or two tracks that he rapped over. Even when he rapped over those tracks, the energy is still different. So, you know, it's like, basically, you know, if you're going to do a show, if you're going to perform, the energy has to be different. The energy has to be larger than your single. And it doesn't seem that way for, at least to my eye, to some of the young cats that are coming out.
Well, what did he try to sum up of the reason for that? Was it just the energy?
I think it was the performances. It's really the performances and the music. You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem like, you know, when people come out, they're just kind of walking around. They kind of got the thing set up a little bit, you know, so you have the dancers, but even the dancers are not as energetic as you would think it was supposed to be, you know?
Anybody else want to chime in or agree with that or disagree with that?
It's hard for me to chime in because I didn't see the BET Awards. But I've seen a lot of shows. You know, people seem to have, like, some very creative and intensive shows nowadays. I didn't get to see the BET Awards. But, I come from the backpack era. Like, I want to go to a show. I want to see a nigga just walking around on the stage rapping. But from what I've seen, like, you know, people like, you know, Doja Cat, Cardi B, they seem to have people, like, pretty, like, you know, extensive shows. I don't know. I just see the BET Awards, though.
He was talking about the sales in general, though, right?
Yeah, just in general, the shows and stuff like that, you know, that are coming out.
I mean, I think sales. I mean, on some level, you know, we want to blame sales on, like, changes in the industry and, like, how, you know, things are different from CDs and it's like a digital era. But I mean, you still got people like Taylor Swift and Beyonce selling millions of records. So, I mean, there's a connect somewhere with the fans, you know what I'm saying?
I think that's where the question is going as far as sales. Just my opinion, I found it weird. I think it was like last week I saw Juicy J post a video. Juicy J said, hey, rap hip hop sales are down 40%. What are we going to do about it? And just me personally, I'm like, I don't even listen to what y'all playing on the radio. So why you coming to me with this video? Like, you coming to the hip hop community? Like, what are we going to do about the sales? I'm like, yo, man, we all don't listen to the same thing. You know, I'm a brother of a certain age. You know, when I was hearing Wu-Tang, I was hearing SWV. When I was hearing SWV, I was hearing In Vogue. When I was hearing In Vogue, I was hearing somebody. You know, it's like, as much as I love music, I still see what the radio was doing. Don't ask me why the person that I really don't listen to ain't selling as much records anymore. Y'all ain't even playing the cats that I like to listen to. Not even one of them. You know what I'm saying? J. Cole ain't got one radio song. No.
Shit, that one shit with Little Durk. That song with Little Durk, man. I mean, playing like nonstop, yo.
No. But what I'm saying is
you talking about the real J. Cole shit.
No. I'm talking about that song. I like that song, but it's not on the radio.
That shit was on the radio fucking crazy, yo. That little Durk shit was on the radio crazy. Hell yeah. That was one of them songs where it's like you couldn't go 15 minutes without hearing it. But you're right, like you don't hear like Bill Maddock on the radio and no shit like that.
No, you don't. You know, I'm just a dude from a certain age. I'm not coming out here, you know, man. I got a niece and nephew. I love them. 13 and 9. Oh, they listening to some stuff. 14. All right, whatever. All right.
I mean, you really got to give it to them because people like Travis Scott and now, man, they ain't got no problem getting no plays. They ain't got no problem getting no plays. They ain't got no problems like selling out no shows. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, the people that we checking for, you know, the game is just like different nowadays. You know what I mean?
But even, you know, 47, go back to 96, you got everything. There's a variety. It's like a real buffet going down of music. And if you think one song is trash, or not even just you, but if people don't want to really hear that song no more, it gets pushed to the side. But there's no, I don't know, maybe my ears are different, but there's not really much variety.
Can I chime in?
Please, man.
I think partially sales are already inflated.
100%. They're completely fake.
Hmm. Yeah, like 80. You got 100,000 songs being released on a daily. 80% of those are rap songs. 84% of the bot streams are rap. So they're inflated. You know. Then I look at, there's an oversaturation. There's so many options. How many times am I gonna go to the DaBaby or the Little Baby show when I might not went to the Little Durk show yet? You know, there's just so many options out there. There's just too many options. You know, I don't think like artists are gonna stay selling tickets forever unless you got a fan base like a J. Cole or a Kendrick or a Tech N9ne or somebody of that nature, you know. And there's levels to the fans, you know. There's fans, there's fanatics, and there's super fans. Super fan is the person who will go get the free phone with the Jay-Z music on it and still go buy the Jay-Z album
afterwards. Yep. Get the t-shirt. So
I think we don't take into account of the level of fans too sometimes.
So I think that's a big part of it. Like you said, back in the days with the music, especially with the hip hop, it was like so exclusive. Like, you know, like hip hop was like a culture, and it was like almost like a counterculture or a subculture. There wasn't a lot of it out there. So you had to choose like Wu-Tang or some West Coast shit. Now it's just like so overly saturated. Like it's too much shit out there. Like you said, 80%. That's why when you got people like Taylor Swift can build a fan base like that, because it ain't a lot of Taylor Swift out there.
That's her lane. She got
her
lane. Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, Jay.
I think to Jones's point, you know, people have their lane, and the reality is we don't have enough diversity. You know what I'm saying? There's an oversaturation of a lot of trap rap, stripper rap, and the lyrical doesn't get, you know, as much play. Or so the, and then enough support,
and then they turn R&B into trap, and then they got the new thing Afro beats, which is basically, you know, Afro beats is they put Caribbean music over trap beats, and it's just, like you said, it's just, and then you, like I said, you have to do something different. Even back in the days with hip hop, it was different. Wu-Tang was different than the tribe was different than N.W.A. Now it's just like,
talk
it's
about
like,
it.
It's one in a million now. Like, it ain't no reason, like you said. And even those shows are interchangeable. Those artists are like interchangeable. Like, you go to one show, you went to all of them. You're like, you know what I'm saying? To be honest. And no disrespect to those people, because those people are in this culture right now. They're controlling this culture right now. They're doing their thing, but it's just a different place. This is a different time, and you know.
Yeah, we just need more balance. Need more balance.
Also, I would say the American market is a harder market to please. Like, overseas, you get a lot more love. Everybody gets a lot more love overseas. It doesn't matter if it's the new school artists, the old school artists. Everybody gets more love overseas. It's a really harder market to please, I think, the American market. A lot of haters in America. A lot of haters.
Well, I think we have a lot of corporate control too. So they determine a lot of what's going on. I mean, you know, I read something about one of the companies basically having a major control over, you know, Spotify and all these other things, you know.
Yeah.
And then in Europe, since I've interviewed, you know, artists from Europe and hip hop artists specifically. You know, they just have a greater appreciation for lyrics. Yeah, they like some of the trap stuff and stuff like that. But it's because, you know, some of that more so now is getting fed to them. So, you know, but you feed them lyrical content, they love it all day long. And the MCs seem to reflect it on for the most part.
I my headphones done cut off on me. Y'all hear me all right?
Yeah, we hear you.
All right, word. I feel what you're saying. I just don't think it. It's a shame that's been a real thought for a lot of years now. You know, we got people like Public Enemy. We got people like Naughty by Nature. They will go overseas and rack up. Rack up.
That's good for them, yo. Real good for them.
That is. It is. Yeah. But it's like, they can't even rack up in their hometown like that. That's real weird. It's real weird to me. You know?
Which makes no sense to this topic, because we're talking about Jermaine Dupri comes out and does the show. And I watched a Jermaine Dupri performance. It was amazing. He brought everybody out. And you know then what? You can't get that same love outside of that performance, inside of this market. It's really crazy. It baffles me. You know?
You calling a person like me out. You calling me out. Because I didn't, like my brother, I didn't watch the awards. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
First BET Hip Hop Awards I didn't watch. I came home from work. I wasn't even aware it was on until the next morning and everybody showing clips. But I saw that Jermaine Dupri clip. And I'm going to be honest, you know, I mess with Jermaine on certain levels. But man, I saw that clip. I was like, oh shit, yeah, he did. He did. He did.
Yeah. But I'm going to be honest with you.
When I like, oh snap, you know, but yeah, you're right. But It's crazy, man.
On some real shit, I wish I would have seen the BET Awards, especially like you said. I'm guessing they gave Jermaine Dupri like some like Lifetime Vanguard type of award, because he's had an awesome career that spanned from like, you know, the Beat Street days up until now. He's been making hip hop hit records, but for some reason, like I said, I didn't have like a lot of interest in awards. I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't, but it's crazy. I do remember that night. I watched the red carpet. They had like Mav Hoffa was like live doing the red carpet on YouTube. I watched that. But even with that, I didn't know 90% of the niggas that was on the red carpet.
Yeah, I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't, the only reason I keep up with it is really because I interview a lot of different people and I try to stay in tune with what's going on. You know, it's hard to keep up with it. It's hard to, like I said, it's really hard to care about it because the diversity is just not there. You know, or it's not at the forefront, I should say, because there are lyrical people. There's a cat, I think, out of South Carolina named Nick Grant. He's like a lyrical cat. You know, it's there are people, there's pockets, but it's just not at the forefront. And that's the problem. Like, you know, I watched that award show, and of course it's going to be on probably about 50 million times. If you got cable, if you got bootleg, whatever, you can find it. You know what I'm saying? And just kind of peep what's, you know, what I'm talking about. And you'll be able to see a difference too, because they're supposed to be having a Grammys celebration of 50 years of hip hop. I think it's supposed to come out December 10th. And you'll be able to see the difference in the performances and the energy and just, you know, just generally, you know, what people are talking about, because it's just different. You know, you see the crowd reaction, and the crowd reaction is just so different from one person to the next.
You know, I was like, I mean, I'm like anybody else. There was a time where it's like, you know, I'm fortunate enough, I came up in the days of the Source Awards. I think they only did that for like 2 years, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, too much Source Awards.
I think there was only two on TV, but I think there was like a couple of them.
Yeah, a couple of them before that.
It was like just two. But I love the Source Awards. But, you know, Grammys, American Music Awards. And then we got to the BET Awards. This is my first time, like, I didn't do it on purpose. I just didn't know. I wasn't paying attention. But they had some good stuff going on, though. They had some good stuff going on.
Yeah.
You know, I try not to place myself in,
you know, like I know what time it is. Like, I assume like me watching the VMAs, like I remember me watching the MTV Awards, and I remember like Snoop Dogg performing like Murder Was the Case and like how geeked I was, or like, you know what I'm saying, like you said, watching the Source Awards and how geeked I was. I assume that's the same way it is now for somebody that's like 15 years old to be watching like, you know, NBA Youngboy on there. I mean, I'm assuming it's the same type of like energy that they have, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying, to be honest. But I was geeked back then watching that shit, so I assume so.
I assume, you know, it's kind of 50-50, because like I said, the young folks wasn't up out of their seat. You know, even for the newer cats, they weren't up out of their seat. They were just kind of, kind of vibing. Hey, I guess it's a different world. But a quick aside before I let you get to your point, you know, I really check BET Awards. I mean, the BET Hip Hop Awards. Specifically for the ciphers, just really strictly for the ciphers. That's what I checked.
I didn't watch one of them yet, and I know they got the clips up there. I just haven't. No, not the clips, but I know they got the clips of the cipher. I haven't watched one yet.
And didn't Rain, wasn't he on the BET Awards 1 year?
A couple years for the URL fight thing, and for one of the ciphers, I believe.
And yeah, he was on a couple years. I remember a lot of people standing up for Rain.
That shit was lit. That was especially that 1 year where like all of them niggas,
like the Joyner Lucas share. It was the Joyner Lucas share.
Well, I mean, he did a couple of them. He even did like a couple of those ciphers. But you remember it was 1 year where it's like all of the URL niggas was up there going in. That shit was crazy. And like you said, it was lit that year. It was real lit that year.
We had a few. We had a few representation from North Carolina. We had him. We had T-Top, and another cat. That's I guess he was T-Top? From. T-Top is a rapper out of Raleigh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I'm at. All right.
Yeah. And I think there was another cat. I want to say he was from here or from around here or something like that. But yeah, it was a few cats that year from North Carolina. So we had some North Carolina representation that year.
That's dope.
Let's take it to Fayetteville. Let's take this discussion of Fayetteville. Why do you think only one rapper sold out Fayetteville? The Crown Coliseum.
What do you mean? One?
J. Cole. Isn't J. Cole the only rapper that sold out the Crown Coliseum by himself?
Because it's I think it's a huge disconnect, and I think that's actually like a problem. Like, you know, I wish I could help with it. That ain't really what I do, but I think it's a disconnect with like people that's like promoters. Like, I mean, in a typical situation like that, I mean, there's supposed to be some kind of promoters that's like, you know, like in charge of like, you know, putting together shows and like building community events, and we don't see that a lot nowadays like the way we should. You know what I'm saying? But I wonder that same thing myself a lot.
Hey, and
I think it's the investment. It's the investment dollars.
I feel that. Go ahead,
Jay.
I said it's definitely investment dollars. Like he had, you know, he was on a major label, you know, and they put that kind of money behind him, and he was doing, you know, a movie at the time. So, you know, or a special. It was the HBO special at the time. So it kind of helped propel a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was dope. I remember that.
My perspective, you know, my wife is, she's from Raleigh. That's where we at. But we was living in Bonny Doon, and her birthday was coming up. And I was like, Eddie Griffin coming to Fayetteville? She was like, uh-uh. And then I look up and I'm like, Forest Hills Drive Tour, it was already sold out. All she wanted to do was see J. Cole. And the evening of the show, I went to StubHub, got two tickets for us for the low. and this is like 2 weeks before her birthday, and we up in the Crown, and good gracious, man, and the place is packed out. People were going to be there regardless. There's people from Alabama, California,
yeah,
Canada. It was incredible. And then it's like, we get these tickets off of StubHub, and I'm looking like the greatest husband in the world. And then Drake comes out. And then this dude says, I got one more guest. Y'all know who it is. That dude came out. H to the OV. I used to move. I'm like, oh! I'm like, yo, babe, we need to leave early. They might charge us to leave.
Cole is a big artist, man.
And then we found out we didn't sign no waivers or nothing. We found out about the HBO joint afterwards. Like, oh, it's going to be on HBO. Like, wow. Like, what hip hop cat had got his whole show? My bad, man. Go ahead, Paul.
Think about what you just said. He sold out the Crown and didn't even tell us Drake or Hov is there.
Yeah.
You ain't supposed to tell nobody.
He didn't even have to let him know. No, everybody else has gotten to tell. They got to tell you that Drake and Hov is coming out if they want to sell the tickets.
real life, man. My wife didn't even know it was Drake. She was like, who is that? Is that Fetty Wap? I know. I was yelling in her ear. I was like, it's Drake. It's Drake. And
Yo, Cole is a big artist, man. I was out there at that Dreamville shit this year. I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. He's a huge artist. He's up there with like Taylor Swift and them niggas.
That's crazy.
But what I was speaking on was just more of like, you know, like more of like in the city, like there we need some like party. I mean, especially right now, it seemed like Fayetteville is kind of getting more like with the parties and shit. But I think we need like a better scene with the party promoters. And yeah, I think the party promoters need to be involved with the artists and like, you know.
Well, what's your opinion on what should the artists bring to the promoters? And what should the promoters offer to the artists? Because, you know, there's all kind of different cats.
Well, I mean, the artists need to be making themselves stars. They need to be making hit records. They need to be making music videos. They need to be heavily involved on social media. They need to be doing all the shows that they can. They need to be creating an environment where people want to see them and want to be fans of them, you know. And then from that point, promoters, they just trying to get the money, you know what I'm saying? They're trying to just bring people to the venue, you know what I'm saying? That's the connect.
And that's what they do. They're supposed to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all remember a while back, I was booking agent on a show that had Slick Rick, Dougie Fresh, MC Light, and Houdini. And it probably didn't even sell out halfway through. It wasn't even half sold. It was like,
that's crazy.
I think sometimes we got to take into account the market. Sometimes markets are just tough, you know. An artist could go to a market and it could just be a tough market. It might not necessarily be that, you know, sales are down or somebody doesn't like the music. It just could be a tough market because Fayetteville is definitely a tough market.
I think it could be timing too. Timing as well because, cats went to Wilmington and they had a big time, you know, sellout. When they did the
What about price? I heard nothing about pricing. Like something like how much are you willing to pay to go to a little baby show or the baby show? I'm not willing to pay too much.
Man, Paul, Paul, I feel like I feel like all three of y'all know better than I do, but pricing comes down to demand, the location. That's what it comes down to. You know, you can't go to somewhere North Carolina and charge people $50 for a ticket. That's not gonna happen. They ain't coming. $50 just to get into the building? Nah. Yeah. You gotta have the right location. Sometimes people need to bring themselves. I'm not saying bring yourself down, but recognize where you at, man. Man. $20 a ticket.
Cater to the venue size. Every venue is not equal. Every fan base is not equal in every city. It changes.
Look, the artist does not have to show up. If the artist wants, I need this just to show up, and I need this when they paying. If that ain't working out, the artist got to figure that out, man. You can't punish the people, man. You cannot. And maybe punish the people is the wrong word, but you can't do that to the people. If you're trying to get paid and the people trying to have a good time, man, we got to be on the equal level right quick.
And really it depends on who's controlling it too, because Live Nation's going, if you're doing a major tour, Live Nation is going
that part.
String everything out. So it's not going to be in the control of the artist how much everything's going to be. Now, if you're in a smaller venue, depending on what the venue is, well, even then, sometimes Live Nation's got a lot of places like Cat's Cradle or...
Love Cat's Cradle. The Ritz.
Poorhouse, Ritz, stuff like that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Places like that, they still may have a chokehold on the market and on the ticket pricing. So... Unless it's just an intimate venue somewhere where the artist is doing it strictly out of their own pocket, then you know,
the prices are
what they are.
Y'all familiar with Larry June? Y'all familiar with Larry June?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That cat packed out the Ritz, man. I wasn't even there. I had three friends that was there, and they were just showing me pictures. I'm like, wow.
I was out there.
A word? Oh, speak on it, man. Let me hear the story, man.
Now, we talked about that. We talked about that maybe two episodes ago. But I think that's the whole point of like Roc Nation and doing like a deal with Roc Nation is like, you know, it's more so like they signing you and they putting this investment into you. But the whole point of that is for you to bankroll they nonstop tour thing what they're doing. But it's so, I mean, that's a big positive to like, you know, having a record label that's like literally your record label is also the biggest tour company as well. But even with the shows, like I said, I was out there at that Dreamville show this year. To me, man, that shit was big. Like, that shit was like on some Woodstock shit. Like, they literally could have said, okay, yeah, we're gonna do this show out here in like Bumblefuck, Kentucky, Ohio, or some shit. And just like Woodstock.
People
would have flew from all over the country and all over the world to go there for that weekend.
Yeah.
To see like J. Cole and Drake and
Can I bounce off of you? Just real short. But there's people that really drive by the house. They really drive by the house, man.
Yeah.
Be like, and then they jump back in the car and they go back to wherever they came from.
I just got on that X Twitter thing. But there was a guy that was hitting me up and was like, he was looking for some of my older music that I don't even have. But I followed him and I seen a couple of days later. Yeah, he took a picture out there in front of that Forest Hills house. Like, he's like like I said, he's up there with like Taylor Swift and Beyonce and all them. Like, that's like a crazy, you know, level to be on as an artist.
That's why they had to put that sign up higher across the street because people kept stealing the sign.
Word.
Yeah.
Get out. Word. Damn.
Dude, if you go on the GPS, it's like a city fucking, you know.
Landmark, yeah.
Mark and shit, you know what I'm saying? They got the shit fenced in. I mean, I stayed 60 seconds down the road, didn't know it till one Thanksgiving. My sister drove me down there. I'm like, why is it fenced in? Like, people doing music videos on top of it, the roof and everything, man. I mean, you gotta have fanatics. When people are willing to drive to say, yo, this is where Big Cavs grew up at. This is where Mr. Jones grew up at. This is where Mr. J grew up at. I mean, I can only imagine to be at that moment. You know, and like
they never been here. Well, I'm saying here, like, but they never been to the Ville. They didn't go to Westover. They ain't go to E. E. Smith. They ain't go to Terry Sanford. But man, they driving down there on a mission. Like, yeah, I'm going to J. Cole's house right now. I'm gonna climb on the roof.
Yeah, it's just like I remember when I was a younger guy, a younger kid, and I would make it to New York. I mean, it was places that I wanted to go to. Like, I wanted to go to the Willy Burger that like Big L and Cam and all that was talking about. I wanted to go to Shaolin. I mean, it's the same way, you know. They fanatics, yo. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that because I never, the most up top I've been is Virginia. No, D.C., my cousins. I never been up top, but man, I promise you, next year, y'all might see Jones with the I Love New York t-shirt on and shit. Like, I'm going to be looking like a straight out of town. I'm like, yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, trust me, bro. Like, it's niggas from here that probably remember that nigga from the skating ring and shit. But I'm telling you, tens of thousands of people ride past 95 every day and pointed that Fayetteville sign and be like, yo, that's where that Forest Hill drives. That's where J. Cole. That's like, that's right. That's that shit right there. People from all over the world, yo.
Say it again, man. Can you say that again?
People from all over the world.
All over the world. Wow.
That's a crazy level to be on. Back to the performances and whatnot. What do you think about the way the artists treat the fans nowadays? You think there's a disconnect with artists and fans? I mean, because they don't treat fans too well nowadays. They don't really care about fans. They just care about the money. They care about their money.
It depends on the artist.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that because you got to understand, these people nowadays that we're talking about, and I'm not going to say J. Cole, but every other person aside from people like J. Cole, they literally spend all day on Twitter talking to their fans. And they literally spend all day on Twitter. That's how you get shit like the Beehive and all that shit. They literally spend all day on Twitter talking to these people, and anybody that says anything negative, they just block them. Okay. They literally spend all day on Twitter, all day on Instagram talking to these people. They got crazy connection with their fans nowadays, yo. The DM Cardi B and get a response from her.
Well, I think that's the thing.
Imagine back in the days if you could have DM'd Raekwon, like, yo,
say it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I think you could only do that on the MySpace days. Like, MySpace days, you might get away with that, but nowadays.
Yeah.
Listen, MySpace. Listen. MySpace was the first time you could do that. But yeah, like back then when people was first coming up on MySpace, like Soulja Boy, Nicki Minaj, Drake, and people were able to like connect with them, that was incredible, yo.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a couple collabs from MySpace. A couple collabs that I didn't get a chance to do from MySpace from some bigger artists. But yeah.
But go ahead, man, my bad, man. No, I'm just over here reacting, man. I don't even want to talk, but I agree.
But that's what the real fans are, like the real fanatics. Yeah. Like the media be attacking people. Like, I mean, a big part of like what social media is, as far as like when you're an entertainer, is the media attack people. And like these people like literally go to war for these artists. Like they'll dox like reporters on Twitter. They really ride, the fans really ride for like, what's that girl name? What's the girl name? Nicki Minaj. What's Nicki Minaj squad? They really ride for her. And they literally, they talk to her on Twitter all day. They talk back and forth.
Yeah. I think, well, would you say it's more connection or interaction? Because I think sometimes, you know, depending on who it is, sometimes it could be interaction, but not necessarily real connection.
I think it could be a little bit of both. I think people can recognize
probably a little bit of both. Probably a little bit of both. Yeah.
Great question.
That's a great question. No, that's a great question. Is it? Could it be just the economy's fucked up right now, man?
No, man.
That everybody can't just afford to spend $200 on the tickets.
I'm telling you, it's part of it, man.
I mean, because if they're connected with the fans, why the ticket sales declining?
Again, I went to that motherfucking Dreamville Fest, and I don't mean to cut you off.
I
went
to that. Let's go.
I went to that Dreamville Fest. I remember like a week or two before it, when those tickets were like $300 a piece, the $300 tickets were like, it was $300 to like be like on the lawn and not have a place to sit at for literally 48 hours. It was like $300. And I was like, well, damn, I'll just get one when I get out there. By the day when it was finally ready to go, like two days before, they were at $450 a piece. That was just for the ground tickets. And they sold out. They literally sold out 2 days before. I went out there. It was nothing but 22, 23, 24-year-olds out there. People got money. Yeah. People have motherfucking money. when you see when they be like Taylor Swift and Beyonce charging $1,400 for those tickets, it's not the fact that they charging $1,400 for those tickets. They charging $1,400 and them shit sell out in 12 hours. People run got bread, yo. People got money, yo.
I think certain people do have money, and I think certain things are there are events. Like if you see Beyonce, you see a Taylor Swift, you see something like that, you see go to a Dreamville Fest, that's an event. So people want to go put out money for that. They're not just going to put out money for any specific concert. And the economy does kind of play a small piece into it. But you know, it's like anything.
I like what you said.
You know, the if you had grandparents or whatever, they used to talk about penny candy. Well, candy ain't less than a dollar now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everything goes up eventually. Everything goes up eventually. So you know, it does price some people out of it.
Yeah, it's the economy is bad. It's tons of inflation, but people going to pay for what they want to pay for. And like you said, that even probably really even go back to the music and the quality of it. Like, you know,
man, please.
That's where we're going.
Go. Oh, you going there.
Yeah. Because people, they don't like you said, that Dreamville Fest, people literally save up, you know, during the year for that to get their hotel and everything. But I mean, like you said, a lot of these other, and that's because it's like, it's an event. Like you said, it's an event. It's a special occasion. I mean, no disrespect to the Little Baby. I love Little Baby, but you mentioned Little Baby earlier. It may not be that type of event. It may be something like, nah, I can pass on that shit. It ain't really that serious. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I like what you said. I like what you said. Just like 30 seconds ago, real fresh, real fresh. It's like, let's go back to the 80s. I love the DeBarge family, but how much are they tickets compared to the Jacksons? It's a price, man. You're gonna have to pay. You know, and their price back then in the '80s is definitely not the price right now. But man, you probably could have saw the Jacksons for like $70 in 1987. And you probably could have seen the DeBarges, who made great music. They are dope. But you probably could have seen it for like half the price. Man, yeah. Man, imagine that price right now, man. Let's go ahead and do the currency right now. Oh, goodness, man. Man, my mom and dad couldn't afford no Jackson tickets. Me and my sister was screaming. We was like, yo, mama, no, whoa, mom. Can we see the Jacksons? My mom was like, here, take this album. Playing on the record player. You ain't going to the show. Yeah, man, this is big time right here, man. Everybody ain't going to Beyonce show. Everybody ain't going to Taylor Swift show, man. Sometimes you got to stay in your room and listen to the record.
And I wouldn't even want to, like, to be honest, like, if somebody gave me a ticket to a Beyonce concert, I probably wouldn't even use it because I wouldn't want to go. And then I'm thinking, like, damn, you know, how crazy it's going to be. And like, I'm not trying to get into all that shit. And I like Beyonce. I got a lot of respect for her, but it's just not what I'm into.
But you different. Do you make songs?
Yeah, I mean, if you gave me I make songs, and if you gave me the tickets to like give me the tickets to an Onyx concert, I'm going to that shit. Yeah, I make songs, you know what I'm saying?
Take him out, bring him out dead. Shout him up, shout a ball head. All right, one gun, two gun, three. All right, got it. All right, never mind.
Yeah. So like I said, I mean as far as the conversation we having, I don't think it's really too much of a disconnect with like the show sales and the record sales or anything. I think everything just is what it is. Shit changes, and the time that we in and the moment that we in and the events that's going on in those moments are just what they are, you know. I try not to spend too much time trying to figure it out too, because you'll drive yourself crazy trying to figure it out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just, especially if you're an artist, you just got to do you. You got to create. You can't worry about what is and what isn't, because you'll be chasing everything. And once you keep chasing, you'll be lost.
Exactly.
I don't know if y'all think about it, but I'd be like, man, I'm not trying to sound like the old man. Like, oh, man, you sounding old. Like, man, this one on the radio back in my day. Like, oh, you old, Uncle Jones. Nah. Damn. Uncle, you washed. Like, word, nephew. All right. Yeah.
Nah, I embrace age. I mean, it come with a lot of things. I mean, the only bad part about it is your body breaking down. But other than your body, everything else get better. Like your brain gets so much better. I mean, even making music, like, I mean, you can make music so better because, like I said, you get more experience and seasoned in it. But like I said, I recognize and understand that, you know, people are at a different, you know, when you're like 17, 18 years old, you're in a different world. Like, you don't even, the rest of the world don't even exist. And I'm not in that era right now. Like, I was at one point. You know what I'm saying? I just understand it, you know what I'm saying? I try not to really worry about it too much.
You know, my parents listen to some dope music, and I love that. I love it. You know, my parents, and I'm sure, you know, y'all family, my parents brought in the 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s. You know, some people, they think about Teddy Pendergrass with some 80s, 70s stuff. But, man, this dude was, Teddy Pendergrass was part of a whole group. Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes. That's the group he was a part of. Man, they made a song, Your Mind Is Here With Me. No, Your Body's Here With Me, but Your Mind Is On The Man, I used to listen to that. Man, I was 7 years old. Like, yeah, this is dope. You know, just just listening to stuff, man. You know, my mom is more of a Prince fan than I am. My mom knew Prince and Michael Jackson way before I did.
Yeah. And my pops was a big, huge music fan. It was always like loud music playing. And I think like his favorite artist, man? Was. His favorite artist, I want to say, was a guy group by the name of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. So by the time I was an adult, I knew all of these songs like word for word. I completely knew every record, but it was still like another 10, 15 years to the point where I sat down as an adult, like 30s and like listened to these records. And I really discovered like, damn, this guy's like literally one of the best songwriters of all time. Like I literally learned, like I already knew all the songs, but when I came back, listened to it as an adult myself, I understood like, and Tom Petty and Heartbreak is ill. That wasn't like no super mainstream shit back then. That would have been like some abstract shit back then, but the shit was crazy when it comes to rock, yo.
What did you like more? Did you like the lyrics or the beat? Or did you just like the whole complete package?
So, I mean, he got a lot of crazy songs. My favorite Tom Petty song is a song called Into the Great Wide Open. And it's like this, it's a story. The lyrics is, I mean, the lyrics are like ABC simple lyrics, but it's very deep. And it's like the story of like a young lame guy who wants to become a rock band, so he moves out to LA to like try to be an actor, and he meets a girl that's like a wild girl that turns him out and has him doing drugs and completely changes. Like, this is an ill song, and I mean it's a live rock song. Like, he's playing the guitar in the song and all. It's crazy. The music and the lyrics is crazy. All of it's crazy, yo.
You ever think about the hook, like why he was talking about so much wild stuff, and then he gets to the hook and he's like, he's talking about all this wild stuff. Everything is wild. And he's like, into the great wide open.
Yeah.
Like he calmed it down. But it's
yeah, that's what I'm saying about he's a great songwriter. And it's crazy that you mentioned like what's the difference, like the beat or the lyrics. Cause I guess, you know, back then in that form of music, you know, today we look at songwriters as people that write the lyrics. But then, you know, Tom Petty and Heartbreakers, they wrote the music too. So I mean, like you said, and it's levels to like the hook and everything. And even like you said, the hook is like such a like a hook from like a movie soundtrack, like into the great. But if you come then the beat changes for the verses, and it, like you said, it gets more monotone, and he's literally like almost rapping at that point. He's like, he's not really rapping, he's like just talking, but it's like the swag is like a rap swag. It's like an incredible song, but yeah, it's incredible music, man. Like I said, and I know, like I said, like you said, when my pops was like maybe like 23, that would have been like some crazy, like that would have been like on the equivalency of like him having a new Mobb Deep. Like, yo, it was that crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Man, my bad, y'all. Hey, yo, Paul, you started this. Peace, Mr. J. But I always try to think, like, what was my dad feeling when he heard some song for the first time? Because everything I hear from my dad or my mom or my uncle, it's secondhand. It's like, yeah, you know, I was listening to this, now you listen to it. I'm like, damn, but you know, man, you was like 17, you was 20 something listening to this. Just shit, you know, sound pretty nice, but
yeah. And like you say, y'all a family, man. Y'all talk about family and kids. Imagine, you know, you bringing your kid the new Onyx. He probably thinks like, you don't know what to think of. Yeah, not the new Onyx, but like the Onyx that we was fucking with back then, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all, also, I gotta say shout out to all y'all, man. This is a real dope conversation. I appreciate y'all.
Also, I want to chime in. I think partially one thing we don't bring up is everybody can't stay on top forever. Like, I constantly bring up the Little Baby, because Little Baby was one of the cats they kept talking about ticket sales dropping. And I remember a time when they were saying he was the hottest dude in the game.
For about two years, yep.
Yeah. I didn't really feel that way, but they said he was the hottest dude in the game. And I think, you know, sometimes you just can't always be the hottest dude in the game forever. You can't have that LL Cool J. Or as Biden would say, LLJ Cool J. LLJ Cool J. And LLJ Cool J longevity. You know, and there's levels to this shit. You know, Cole was, like you said, Cole was on another level. He's got his own fucking festival. He's on Woodstock level. I mean, what other rappers got their own festival like Cole?
He ain't got to drop an album.
Drake got one called the OVO Fest. But OVO. Still, like, No disrespect to Drake, but I think the OVO Fest, Dreamville is like this over the OVO Fest, to be honest, I think.
It is.
Well, Jay-Z's got Made in America, Roots got the Roots Picnic.
I gotta take a break. I'll be right back.
And then I think just Little Brother just started up the, I guess, the Little Brother Picnic thing.
Yo,
so I don't know. We'll see.
Respect,
we'll see how that, that happens.
But like, you know, we
Made in Durham. They did Made in Durham. My bad. My sorry.
Yeah, my bad.
Walk it off the camera and try to take over the conversation.
Man, fuck that, man.
But you know, recently we talked about that. The Jake, the LL Cool J, the Rock the Bells. I think at some point that'll be like 20 years from now, that'll be like a crazy festival, yo.
Rock the Does he got a festival for that?
That's what I'm saying. Like I think like 20, but I'm saying like 20 years from now. 20 years from now, that'll be some shit where it's going to be like Coachella.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you on that. Why? Let me ask you a question. Do you trust LL? I trust LL. He's never done nothing like this before. Never. And it looks like the first run is going pretty damn good.
I love LL. The only reason I don't trust LL. It's because he the type of nigga that after you do the song, he'll go back and change his verse. And that's some bitch move. That's some shit that a bitch rapper would do. You know what I'm saying?
I wish I was on camera. Damn.
But I love that though. I'm just joking. That's just a joke.
Tell the show with his big mouth to bank his clothes. Like, damn, you gonna do canvas like that?
Oh my God.
Right, we got a few more minutes. Anything y'all want to touch on?
Hey, Mike Fights is this Sunday. I will be a judge on Mike Fights.
What's that?
You got Bag Boulevard.
Shout out to Shug Diddy. Shug Diddy.
Yeah. It'll be my second time being a judge out there. Yeah.
What part of the Boulevard? Yeah.
What was it? 56. I don't want to get messed up, but it's towards.
Is it at Zaza? Is it like by that Zaza Shopping Center?
I think so. I think that's it.
It's across street from the Tropical, right?
Man, I think so. Wow, man, that's where I used to live at. So I used to live right across the street from the Tropical.
but shout out to Shug Diddy, man. I went to one of those And that I, you know, the one that they had, like when I first got back, that shit was crazy.
Oh no, he went out. What's that, Jay? What's that about though? The mic fights.
What's going on?
Basically, his battles. He's got his. I don't know exactly who's the lineup. But he tries to have, you know, different events every few months, and you know he's been bringing folks out. And last time I went and judged, it was definitely a dope battle. You know, I got some footage. I'm probably going to get some more footage this time too, for the documentary. But I look forward to hearing them lyrics.
Hey yo, Mr. J, you were so humble. You really slid in. Yeah, I was a judge. Man, you know what it takes to be a judge. You gotta know your stuff. You ain't gotta perform. You like, yo, Mr. J, can you be a judge? Tell me if these dudes are dope. That's dope, man. Word.
Yeah, man. Well, I love watching the battles and stuff like that, man. And it's definitely a unique skill to make sure your lyrics are on point, responding to, you know, an individual either before or after, and maybe having to change up some things, you know what I'm saying? And Sugar always tries to have you know his stuff together and really try to bring you know people out and people should really support what he's doing.
Hey yo, Mr. J, hey yo, Paul, do you mind?
Go ahead. We about to wrap it up here soon. We're about to hit the hour mark.
Mrs. J, man, say the name and location again, man. Promote it. Let's go. Let's get it.
Mike Fights on Bragg Boulevard. It's starting at 8:00. You know, right across from the Tropical.
And you said that's tomorrow?
It's 8 to 10. Sunday. 8 to 10.
Sunday. Anybody I know that was there at the last one? Like
I'm not sure who's gonna be. I know Cool Ass Unk's supposed to be out there.
Damn, he's
supposed to be performing. He's supposed to be performing.
Cool ass.
We need to get Stranger the Great. We need to get Stranger the Great out there, man. We got to get Stranger the Great out there on some mic fights. All right, so we about to wrap it up here, fellas. We about to hit the hour mark. Anything any we all want to shout out before we go?
I wanna shout out Mrs. J. I want to shout out Big Cass. And I want to shout out my brother that I met in the trailer park. My man, Paul Masson. You know, never spell Jones with a Z, always S. Me and P come together like the ultimate best, and that's word.
And shouts out to Big Face. He's out there at the bare knuckle fight and whatnot. And once again, rest in peace to DJ Mark, the 45 King. Peace. We would not be a hip-hop news culture and more channel if 40, we did not 40, say rest in peace to DJ Mark, the 45 King.
45 King did it for everybody. Queen Latifah, Naughty by Nature. He did that. He did that, man.
Yep. I remember Underground Experience, November 18th. Oh. Go get your tickets.
All right, fellas.
Artist Block, Greensboro.
Hey, yo, right. Big Cass. Respect, man. All right, he's going again.
We lost him. We lost him again. All right. We'll have Kaz on next week again, too, man. I'll holler at y'all later, fellas.
All right.
All right, P. Peace, Mr. J.
Peace.